Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. This is your weekly dose of dream home inspiration, bringing you clever hacks and tips from the very best local experts with your hosts, Tara and Joe.
Welcome everybody tonight on the Dream Home Movement. Tonight we are talking interior design with the one and the only Deborah Lee from Image Makers. Deborah Lee is a local interior designer. She has a fantastic business. It's been going for over 11 years here on the peninsula, and you do a good portion of Melbourne as well. And she has actually just built her own house. So we are talking about building houses, designer's own project, which is always interesting. And it's a smaller footprint house. Yeah, it's a smaller footprint house. And we thought we'd explore that subject tonight. We're also, as always, going to do. I'm joined by my fabulous co-host Joe Violetta from Violetta Finance, and we are going to be talking our finance segment. So we look forward to talking to you more about that soon after a song. So Deborah, I've known Deborah for quite some time.
Yes, a few years.
She's helped me design one of my very first townhouses back in Edith Vale in the day.
Oh, is that right? Is
yes,
it?
Yes,
wow.
Correct.
So that's going back quite a fair bit.
It is. It certainly is. However, we're here to talk about Deborah's house. And now I got it wrong. I said it's a townhouse, but technically it's not even a townhouse.
No,
what is it?
Freestanding house. So totally different, I think. I think we just talked about it just quickly before.
Yeah.
That when it's an empty block and they build the townhouses, it seems to be a lot more thought into it and a lot more style.
Yeah.
When it's a home in the front or the back of a property.
Yes.
A lot of the drafties, builders slash whatever.
Yeah.
Tend to put a brick veneer basic home in there instead of looking at, well, you know, it's just a still space.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why you can't build your dream home.
Correct, correct.
So it's just, you know, it can be very stylish.
Well, absolutely. And that brings us onto the subject of your house. It's quite cutting edge, isn't it?
Thank you. For
a house behind a house, yes. It is actually, it would have to be a dream home. Is it one of your dream homes, do you feel?
I think because we've built before and we've renovated and we've lived in lots of areas. We've done two Victorian homes in Yarraville and we've done a beach shack in Noosa and we've built down at St Andrews Beach. I think all the elements that we learnt and liked about those styles, we were able to implement into this one. So
fantastic.
We were able to get the polished concrete floors and the high ceilings and things like that. So it was, sort of really good to get those edges in, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Like those. I mean, it's not even luxury finishes. It's more architectural. Some real architectural punches that you don't normally find in a house behind a house, do you, really?
Well, that's right. And then there's no reason why you can't, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can we just backtrack for a moment, just for context for myself and the listeners who aren't familiar with Deborah's home? You've got townhouses.
Sorry.
There's a thing called townhouses.
Yes.
And then also, because we have international listeners as well, so they might not be familiar with the way that houses are structured here in Australia.
Right.
So you've got townhouses, and then you've also, something that's quite common here in Australia is that you'll have larger blocks of land and you'll have two houses on that block of land.
Correct.
Now, they're not owned by the same person all the time. Often they're owned by two different parties completely, but they're sharing the same block of land.
Sometimes.
Often they're sharing the same driveway, but then you've got sort of separate entrance
sometimes
ways.
So, yeah, dual occupancy, I think you're describing.
Yep. So,
dual
occupancy. So what we're talking about tonight is dual occupancy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So can we just explain for people that aren't familiar or aren't sure of the difference? Deborah, you might be able to explain, or I can hand it over to you, Tara. What is the difference between a townhouse and a dual occupancy? Just so everyone is very clear, because we've kind of launched into the conversation and everyone might not be 100% clear on what we're talking about.
So townhouses are often side by side.
Yes.
And they're houses of a certain style that's, you know, about living in a town. So they're quite often multiple stories, two, maybe three stories. They have a small footprint. I guess the term townhouse in that context is used to describe just a style of house. So if you go to Port Melbourne, you can't anything but describe those houses as townhouses. Mm-hmm.
They usually have a party wall too. They usually
Yes, that's right. Yes. So they've usually got adjoining wall that they share. Yes.
That's a very good point.
And both of these joining houses, when they're townhouses, they look very similar, don't they? Yes. So the facade is usually identical.
Yep.
Absolutely. Basically or variations
mirrored.
Yeah.
But dual occupancy, Tara, if you want to explain what...
Two houses, pretty much. With some level of common ground to them, sometimes, I mean, in Australia, we're very lucky in a lot of the suburbs, the typical block was about 1,000 square metres, or 800 or 700 in that world. And that very comfortably suits two houses. Mm. What you're finding as we're wanting to infill as opposed to, you know, going suburbs and suburbs and suburbs out, we want the convenience of existing infrastructure. So where there was one house, quite often now there is two, one in front of the other. That the great thing about that sort of scenario is the front house can remain in many situations, and in sometimes that preserves the character of the street because you get to keep the lovely old houses. The land's being used to its maximum capacity, and we're preventing urban sprawl.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think before this was supposed was happening, it was also the battle axe.
The battle axe
was quite common.
Yeah.
So now it's sort of like a version of that, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So your house is very much a house in its own right, and it's not the typical house that you'd expect to find at the back of another house, because typically when someone builds a house behind the other house, they're usually single story, quite predictable, safe design.
True.
I'm saying from a general sort of idea of, you know, this far out of Melbourne, that's how it usually is. But yours is something different. It's cutting edge. It would well do fine in St Kilda or something cool like that.
Yeah, it's the interior designer that comes out.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very good point.
It's working with your wish list too. When we actually first bought the house, it was originally purely to flip it in 5 years' time. We came up because we were living in St Andrews Beach, it was a little bit far with teenage children and everything else, so we wanted somewhere where we could get the bus for the kids to go to school. The backyard was great because we were a soccer family. Not thinking of the big picture and things like that. So then all of a sudden we're now, all the children have gone, and we thought, oh, we've got this really big backyard.
There'd be so many people in your situation as well who did, for exactly your reasons, you know, buy the house on the 700. How big was your block?
1,000
square metres in Mornington here. There's plenty around. And it was totally perfect for you back then. And now you still like the area.
That's correct.
It's a fantastic spot, you know. But you don't need that great big block of land anymore. That garden's just empty.
And all of a sudden, wow, this is what we can put there. So, it was just how I suppose it fell into place.
Yeah, fantastic.
So that was good that way, and it came up really well.
It was just meant to be. Mm. So from a designer's point of view, what are some important aspects to consider when you're doing, I guess in this instance, a dual occupancy?
I think to make sure that all the spaces inside and out are designed with a purpose. You really to use as much as you can. And you really got to take into consideration the privacy situation, because all of a sudden you are on a smaller block and your neighbours are a bit closer. So there's that sort of factor of noise factor, making sure you got your greenery back in.
Yeah.
Because you are taking the garden out.
You are,
so it's really important to bring your plants and your landscaping back in.
Yeah.
And just to really realise that I think to consider really what type of home you're going to put out the back there. Yeah. Or at the front, wherever it is.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this once before. When it's your own home, it becomes quite emotional. When it's an investment, it's a bit, that's fine. And I think that's one of the issues that's been happening, is that the investors are building these boring homes.
They are. It's affordable. They don't have to really think about it.
And when it becomes your own, you think, oh, hold on, why can't I have this and that? You know, if I bought a smaller block, what's the difference?
Well, this is exactly it. And I think that's what I love about your house that you've designed. For our listeners who can't see it. Now, Deborah, we will put a link up on our Facebook page. But what Deborah's designed here, it has these really high ceilings. So the main living room, how high are those ceilings?
4 metres high.
4 metre high ceilings with skylight windows.
And the reason that was because we had to
move. Light window, sorry.
Exactly. But because the trees were so important when we bought that block and we had to make room, obviously, for it, I wanted to still capture the trees that belong to other people.
Yeah.
And also to see the night sky. There's nothing like just seeing the moon go past or something like that. It's fabulous having that high ceilings. But because we designed it, we were able to have a bit more say in our design, in our spaces and how we use our ceilings. And of course you have to watch your overshadowing and all that neighborhood thing. So we were able to do from boundary to boundary.
Correct.
And it was just manipulating the ceilings and the heights to accommodate the regs.
Yeah.
Plus what we could do in that space. So it became really super important.
Yeah. So, I mean, as Deborah was saying, you know, we have, particularly when you do like a dual occupancy, the council has regulations or rules that you try and stick within if you want to make your life easier. There's no reason within those regs why you can't have a living room with a 4 metre high ceiling with some great highlight window so you can see a bit of cloud, you can see a bit of sun. It doesn't have to be a boring little brick veneery something.
Correct. And even the second story upstairs, we had all highlight windows, so nothing, you can't see it over anyone's backyard or anything. All you're seeing is sky and trees.
Fantastic.
So that was really important too.
Yeah. So privacy for your neighbours and for you.
Oh, exactly.
Fantastic. It's quite revolutionary and it's quite a modern cutting edge design that you've gone for isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds it, especially with the polished concrete floors. Yeah. That's very modern. I know some of my friends, they're renovating at the moment and they really like the industrial look and they want to go for polished concrete floors. So I want to ask you, does it still feel warm?
We built down at St Andrews Beach going back 14 years ago or so, and we were one of the very first to do polished concrete floor. And I think that's travelling from overseas when you go to the Greek islands or Italy. They've all got polished terrazzo floors. It's normal.
Okay, so it's not – because it's a bit unique here, isn't it? Yeah, we're more tiles or floorboards.
So we wanted – it's great to hide dirt. But because we've already had one before, we knew how it was like to live with. And definitely it was just the first thing, tick.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So how do you keep them warm? Like, don't your feet get cold?
Do you get cold on tiles?
That's true. Same thing. Easy to clean.
Yes, great.
Good for kids.
Yes, definitely.
Not too slippery. And dogs. because you get scratches on your floorboards if you've got pets. So you wouldn't get them on your polished concrete floors. No. Tasha, if you're listening, I know that you want polished concrete floors with your dog.
Do you find it durable as well? Polished concrete?
Yes, I think so. It's still like nothing's indestructible. You still got to look after it. If you drop something, you still clean it and things like that. So that's just with all products. I think everyone seems to think that if you've got a stone benchtop, you can do anything. You can't. So it's still, you know, not bulletproof, but it's still.
Just because the manufacturer said so doesn't mean it's true. You heard it here first. Actually, Deborah and I were talking about that the other day you quite often in your work test out turmeric and all sorts of cooking materials and the surfaces.
On your stone benchtops, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many companies now that do it.
Yeah.
And they're all usually fantastic and things like that, but you still got to make sure for your client that, I can really recommend this particular product.
Yeah, so you've tested it yourself. It's different than just looking at a checklist and, tried and true. So from a designer's point of view, so how hands-on were you guys in this particular project?
Well, my husband being the builder, oversaw everything. He also did basically a lot of it.
Yeah.
Built it. Like with physically.
By hand.
So, yes, he did all the brick and block work.
Yep.
Did all the tiling. you won't be happy, laid all the wallpaper.
Oh, wow.
And just, you know, when it had to be, he hung up the pendant so I could see where it's going to fit. But, yeah, he's certainly amazing. He's certainly got a huge work ethic.
Oh, so, wow. And so did this all happen in your backyard while you were living in the front?
Yes, it was great. Yeah, go out there with the coffees for all the tradies and I'd be the one cleaning up and, yeah, hands on. I don't mind getting my hands dirty, so I was a good labourer at some stage.
So how wide was the driveway down the side of your house to allow access to the back?
It has to be 3 metres at the end. Yeah, so it was still a bit.
And so how wide was yours during construction, do you remember?
Probably about 2 metres at the time.
Yeah. Well, this is it. You don't forget. You learn very quickly how wide your access is because you're holding your breath.
When you get the excavator
really
in
tight
there.
When these trucks go by, because I've had that experience in a little weatherboard house. And, yeah, having trucks go up and down the side of our house and, you learn very quickly exactly how wide your driveway is.
It was interesting when they were delivering the bench top.
Oh, yeah?
Because I couldn't get the truck down there.
Oh, they couldn't get the truck down.
So I was sort of a bit nervous watching the stone bench go past.
Oh, because you don't want them to drop it.
Oh, no. So all was well. It was all good. But, yes, there was some tense moments somewhere. But
Yeah.
It's all part of building, isn't it?
Oh, it is, isn't it?
It's the journey.
It's all fun and games, isn't it?
Well, when we come back after the break, we will chat more with Deborah, particularly around anything that she might have done differently. If she could turn back time and do it all again. Thinking of all the features in this beautiful new home, what are your favourite ones? Mm-hmm. We've already spoken about the polished concrete floorboards, the gorgeous high ceilings. Is there anything else?
I think because designing it myself, I was able to put the wish list in as much as I can. Some things got knocked back, but that's okay.
Knocked them back?
Oh, called budgets and things like that.
How dare they?
I usually talk to my clients exactly that. Start with your wish list and then work your way down, whether it's because of construction reasons, budget reasons, value to your property, cleaning. They're the things that you really got to. You can love something, but really it's the longevity of it all. So you really want something that you're going to love in 10, 15 years, not the 5-year trend. So talk a bit about that. With this, I was able to put quite a few bits and pieces. I think if you have a look on the website, the house is actually on our website. In the 4-metre high ceilings, there's a huge blank wall, which we did a matrix wall. We actually used an exterior product.
Yeah.
It's actually using an exterior product, which is like a cement sheeting type flat product, which is done in a rectangles, whatever shape you want to do. And we opened up the gaps with black so you could see the outline of it all. So created and using paint colours, we were able to do a couple of different colours and we just made it a little bit unique that way.
Is that an interior wall or an exterior?
Interior wall, but we use an exterior product.
How fantastic.
I think probably one of my favourites, I have to say, the kitchen design, because it's just like, we were able, because with the high ceilings, we actually discovered that we had, or not discovered, but realised more to the point that we had a steel beam and we've always wanted to have the black exposed beam. So we were able to get that engineered and brought out. So that sort of defines the kitchen a little bit and we actually dropped the ceiling in the kitchen. So I found with all my clients the same sort of thing. You need to do a lot of nutting out to see how you use an area. Mm. So I had to talk to myself, being the client and the designer, to see how where I wanted things to be and placement and how far I wanted to walk from the dishwasher to the sink and things like that. So I found this sort of nutting it out in the very beginning. Lots of the spaces in the house, and it's your brief that you do with yourself or with your clients, is so important because that's where you start seeing things develop. So that's probably one of my favourite areas as well, apart from the walk-in dressing room.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I dream of having a walk-in dressing room. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
This is probably where we've gone sort of a bit industrial in certain areas and then we decided to – it's actually very – because the main bedroom is actually on the ground floor and we were able to – the way I designed it, we were able to sort of walk through the dressing room, walk-in robe. And I actually, because it was in the entrance, I was able to use a barn door, even though I used a contemporary door, but on a barn door system, but walked into robes on each side that were closed. You don't see what's behind them. And having a seating area, which I think is important to put your shoes on, you know, to put your shoes on, sit down.
So important, yes.
And then we just blinged it a little bit with a bit of a chandelier, some wallpaper and a huge, huge, beautiful mirror. So, and then you sort of turn into the bedroom part and then into the ensuite. You can see I'm doing the movements here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds divine, very luxurious, but also really practical.
And still have the polished concrete floor in there. So we really sort of mixed it with the styles. So, and there's no reason why you can't do that. The balancing of the house will tell you a lot.
The house will tell you a lot. Wow.
That's like you'll feel it, things will go together. And it's like, no, I thought this would work, but
So there's not too many things that we thought didn't work. I think because we did so much work in the very beginning. And so I think that's where clients really need to understand that it's the nutting out and it's not the selection all the time. It's actually getting it right in the beginning.
The rhythm.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a more holistic big picture strategy that goes in before picking the colours and picking the
materials. That's right.
We
talked about that huge, beautiful room. It's fantastic. Yeah. But there is also a TV room that's cosy and it's got the lower ceilings and it's just feels different.
Yeah.
And it's really lovely to sit in there and, you know, and watch the movie and the sound's different. Obviously, in a big ceiling, you get the sound is bigger, obviously.
Well, we know about that working in audio. So, obviously a lot of thought goes into creating the spaces in the home, and it's not just about how beautiful something is, but it's about how livable it is as well.
Oh, God, definitely. Yes, definitely. It's how it all comes together and how you want to live in it and share it with your family and friends and things like that. So, we sort of made sure that, you know, every room that downstairs had a sliding door, French doors, because everything was to do with the indoors and the outdoors. Of bringing it all in and out. So just create, especially in summer, just opening it all up.
I didn't realise that's why you did that. Yeah. So in Deborah's design, as she just said, there's the trendy barn doors that we're all in love with at the moment, and a lot of double doors. And then so that's your idea was that rhythm of the outdoor feeling, because outdoors you have the big, you know, sliding doors, you have the French doors, you have larger entries, you know, and you've brought that theme inside just to keep.
Still on a smaller block.
Wow, this is exciting. I hadn't thought of design the way that you're talking about. It's really interesting. You've got a very sort of instinctual sort of way of looking
at it. We're talking about using old and new, and we're talking about the other day about the wastage that's happening. It's just really sad. And my husband was on a building site in Albert Park and was a big renovation of Edwardian, and he was able – they were throwing out everything. So he was able to reclaim the beautiful – blue stone steps, which we've actually incorporated in the beginning to our entry. So having something from the 1800s that walks into the 21st century is really gives me goosebumps.
It's really special.
Yeah,
it is really
funny. Yes. But those little things, quirks, just add that character to it.
That depth to the home.
But that's the emotional part, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you can afford that investment, not just money, but you know, the time and the thought and the care, particularly when it's your home that you're going to live in as well. If you could turn back time and redo the whole thing again, is there anything that you do differently? I don't know what your answer might be there, because it sounds like you plan things out really carefully from the start.
I think with the actual build, it was fantastic. I think what we would do was actually probably from the very beginning get a planner to help us with the council.
Oh, so yes. a town planner.
Yeah. I think I'd agree with that idea.
Yeah. I think I would plug with Melinda Ryan.
Yeah, she is fabulous.
Yes.
We've had her on the show before. Yeah. She was great.
She was great. And you know, I spoke to her after the event and I thought, oh, my God, why don't I have it at the beginning? Because I think that's the heartache or the stress of it is actually dealing with councils.
It certainly is, isn't
it? And it's all councils.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have a particularly interesting one down this end of the world. Mm. But yeah, it's a sort of, it seems to be a universal Australian experience.
Yes, apparently so. Sad though, but
yeah. So engage a town planner. That would be
from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
Just so you'll know that, because yeah,
that's great advice.
But everything else, I think, really was it fell into place. Took longer than normal. The budget, yes, it did get blown out. Where it got blown out probably wasn't so much with the build of the house, but probably with more excavation and the drainage system because the council changed.
So stuff that you don't have control over, but you would have had a buffer, I would imagine, because those sort of budget blowouts can be inevitable for those things that are out of your control. Yeah. So really good idea to have that buffer. We've got a signature question that we ask all of our guests, and it is, what does the phrase dream home mean to you?
I think getting as much as you can with your wish list in the home, but loving the space that you created or that you bought, whichever, and just love where you live. You know, it's all to do with family and friends and it's your home. It doesn't matter really if it's a brick veneer or, you know, a hut or whatever. It's really to do with the people that live in it, isn't it? Really,
it is. You're right. Yeah. It is. It's to do with
the people. This is all lovely and beautiful and really happy with the results, but it's still the people that are in it and how we use it and how we live.
That's so true. You could be in the most beautiful, amazing home, but if you aren't with people in there that you're happy with, it becomes a gilded cage. So
that's your dream home, isn't it? To be happy in your living space.
Love it. Love it so much. Now, where can people find you, follow you? Where can they go have a look at that beautiful home on your website?
on our website, which is Image Makers Interior Design website.
Is that .com or .au?
.com.au.
Imagemakers.com.au, yes.
We also have a design and selection studio in Mornington.
Oh, truly?
Yes, on the Pean Highway, so right opposite, or right next door to actual National Trials.
So how does that work? Can people just come in and do they make an appointment or?
Appointments are better because obviously if I'm on site or.
You won't be there.
Yeah, so normally there. But we've just got some exciting things that have just come in, which is our own range of wallpapers, which is really exciting.
Okay.
It's got a new range of some rugs as well. So we've got from bricks to fabrics in the studio. So you can do all your selections basically in a one-stop section.
So really someone engages you, they make an appointment and they come in and they look at – is that how it works?
Yes, usually you obviously get a brief and you look at their plans.
Yeah, okay.
And to me, the plans are the most important thing because it's trying to see, especially in the very beginning, to see how the house operates and how it works and getting to know the client and how they work and live and who's in the house and kids. And I mean – We've been lucky that we had three children under two.
Oh gosh.
So we know what it's like to have
a rough and tumble house.
Yes, very much so. And then through no more children there and we've done our renovations, we've done our builds, and so that sort of life experiences really comes into play. So your clients can be of any ages, basically, which is great. So.
And where can people – have you got social media?
Social media, yes.
Where can we find you?
There's obviously Facebook and Instagram. There's Howes and there's Pinterest and there's all those sort of things. But
you're everywhere.
It's all overwhelming, isn't it?
Image Makers, here you come.
Yeah, yep. Image Makers, yeah. So it's all good.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
That was
really fascinating. Yes, it was. Glad you had fun and we'll chat to you again soon.
Love to.
We are heading into the finance segment with Carl. Carl, have we got you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, what I wanted to talk to you about tonight, it's actually a conversation that we've been having during the break amongst ourselves with our guest, Deborah Lee, is that lending is becoming tougher. It's becoming harder. It's harder for people to borrow money to buy their home, their investment property. We've spoken about this before on the show. Mm. But in particular, what I wanted to talk to you about is how the amount that you can borrow can vary from lender to lender, why that is and what that could mean for you. So could you explain to us a bit about that?
Yeah, so each bank have a different way of applying living expenses to a customer's declared income. They use a HEM living expenses metric, and it's really driven by the amount of combined income that is on the application. It's a bit of a blanket ruling for how a lending or a bank assessor can approve someone's borrowing capacity. Someone on $100,000, the bank would say, well, all right, well, based on their combined income, you know, their living expenses should be $3,000, for an example, unless the living expenses declared on the application is above that figure, then they will use the higher of the amount. Does that make sense?
Okay, so it's either what you declare or what they have as part of their policy, whichever one's higher.
That's right.
Okay, yep, got it.
Correct. And each bank is different in relation to their index.
Okay.
And that's why each bank have a different calculations on borrowing capacity. And that capacity can be significant. One bank might offer a customer $500,000 and then another bank could offer someone about $650,000. And that's just due to living expenses and also the way their calculators buffer certain debts or buffer certain mortgages, existing mortgages that they have.
So hold on a second. You could have exactly the same applicant with exactly the same information and one bank would be willing to lend them $600,000 and another would be willing to lend them $650,000. I don't know how you say it. $650,000.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just got lost. And no, the other bank would be willing to lend them $50,000 more.
Yeah,
for the exact same applicant.
That could very well happen.
Wow.
Yeah,
and look, okay.
It's not uncommon, you know. Every day where I would be shopping around a customer's home loan, and I usually use between 3 to 5 different banks for a particular customer, and the output of the borrowing capacity, they're all different. They're not the same.
Wow. And that's based on the varying lender policies.
Yeah. Their policy and the way the buffering is set on their servicing calculator. And let me expand on that a little bit further so it makes a little bit more sense. If a customer is looking to buy a investment property and they're already holding a loan, an occupied loan, now some banks will buffer the existing loan at 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Some banks will just take actual repayments. Now, that buffering of that extra 30% has a significant impact on a customer's borrowing capacity. In other words, when a particular client comes to me and says, oh, I want to buy an investment property or I want to buy another home and I'm converting my existing investment property, we have to talk about, okay, to try and get you the best outcome for your borrowing capacity, we're going to need to maybe talk about A, B, C lenders or D, N, E, and F banks so that we can try and get you to pass serviceability. All right? The best way is to deal with a mortgage broker because they have a really deep understanding of the lending policies. And because we use servicing calculators every day, you know, it's a major part of our tool, we can then make an assessment and put the customer in a lender that will give them the best option to buy their dream home or to buy an investment property to grow their portfolio.
Okay. I think that's really good information because I don't think everyone realises that your borrowing capacity can vary so much from bank to bank and lender to lender. Like I think it's really quite surprising to realise that the same people, applicant with the same information and income could get a no from one lender or a, you know, $600,000 from one and $650,000 from another. That's, you know, that's pretty stunning. So it pays to compare.
It pays to compare, and it really does pay to just use a reputable broker, you know, that has a great understanding about what the customer's looking to achieve.
Yeah, they know those lender policies inside and out, so they're I know who will be willing to lend to you, and let's test to see how much they'd be willing to lend compared to this other mob who'd be also willing to lend to you. Let's test how much they'll
be willing to lend. Yeah, correct.
Okay, very good.
So, Carl, that was some great information there. Thank you very much. So where can we find you if we want to chat about this further, or if we're looking for a mortgage or we're looking to refinance?
They can always find us on Facebook or on Instagram, or they can call me directly. My number is 0424-849-034, and that's Violetta Finance.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Carl.
Oh, no worries. Pleasure.
Look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Bye. Okay, well, that actually brings us to the end of the show. Gee, that was a jam-packed show. It does, and I feel like we've had so much valuable information on this show from Deborah, yourself, and from Carl. And so shout out to you, but also shout out to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in live every Thursday night at 7 p.m. on 98.7 RPP FM. And thank you to all of our podcast listeners as well. Yes, replays of the show are listened to globally, worldwide, and are available on Wooshka, on mine and Tara's websites, and also on iTunes or wherever you find good podcasts. And we would just love it if you would leave us a gorgeous review on iTunes. It helps people find us, maybe even share the show. And of our podcast listeners, I would like to give a shout out to everyone listening in the Docklands in Melbourne. They are our top listening suburb this month.
Wow.
And also big shout out to everyone listening in, oh, they're here again, Mount Eliza, second top listening suburb of the month. And also hello to everyone listening in Vancouver, our number one international listening city for the week. So I'm sorry, I said the month to everyone, but I was actually supposed to say the week.
A weekly show.
We are a weekly show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We look forward to chatting with you again next week. We hope that your projects are going well, and make sure you reach out to us on Facebook and Instagram. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Dream Home Movement. Wishing you all the best in your projects this week. We would love to chat and hear what you're up to, so please say hi on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to hanging out with you next week. Catch you soon.